Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Kevin Carroll. Kevin's the Army's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems. And joining us in our conversation is Brian Dixon.
Kevin, what are some of the key information technologies that are changing the way the Army does business?
Well, there's the Army right now is really undergoing a massive transformation, and that's not just in my area, but across the Army as we try to become a lighter, more agile, more module force. And we have a lot of we have plans for the future, like Future Combat System is a big Army initiative where we can bring net-centric platforms that can really improve the ability to hit our targets, the ability to save lives, the ability to move quickly. And all those are big technology efforts that have information technology included in them. Actually, at the core of a lot of it is the ability to see, know where your enemy is at, know where you're at, and the ability to be able to strike quickly and get out of there quickly, too. So all that future technology that the Army's working on, mostly in the labs today, and with industry, is trying to move that the Army forward. And so there's a whole push to kind of do that future combat system and effort in the future. What's happening right now is there's a big push for technology implementation in the current structure that we have, because everyone coming back out of Iraq and Afghanistan know that we have to solve problems today. We can't be waiting another 5 years or another 10 years. We have to move today. And so there's been a big push on creating the ability to do that. And in our world, in our particular world, that really is in the communications area, the technology to improve bandwidth. You know, we still have a problem in our world of getting the bandwidth we need in the isolated places we go in the Army to get that the ability to do our web-based application stuff. We have to have bandwidth, or we're not going to be able to operate effectively. So we need the bandwidth, so communications is going to be a technology that will continue to be pushed over the next couple of years for us. It'll be pushed forever, really, but over the next couple of years, for sure, we'll spend some money to do that. Information assurance. We continue, as you all know, continue to get attacked on the information infrastructure. We have some great people that are really working really hard to protect the network from intrusions and attacks. And I think that whole information assurance area, the technology in that's going to continue to be needed and to be a big growth area for us. We're also doing enterprise resource planning tools, ERPs, the SAPs, the Oracles, the PeopleSoft, those kind of solutions across the Army, because we really do want to change the way we do business. We practice in pretty much all of our areas, personnel, logistics, medical. We're still practicing old business practices, some coming from World War II, that have not really made that big dramatic change. And we want to change the way we do business. We want to be more business-like in how we conduct those business processes. And so this movement towards the ERP solution, like industry did, is a big thing on our plate for the next couple of years. And for us, that's a growth area, I think, that you'll see continue across all of our programs. And then the other issue is training. We've really trained the tech. It's not so much a technology issue, but what we're finding is that we can create great software products. We can take them out to the field. We do conduct training on the actual application, but what we don't really conduct training on is the business process change that's going on. And we're going to have to spend more time and more money in training and making sure that the soldiers that touch our equipment really can understand what they're getting and how that changes what they're doing in their business day lives every day, and really make our systems more effective as a result of that, more user-friendly to them, much more capability than they have today. And so I think those areas are going to be big over the next couple of years while we continue to work for the big future. And that's more along the lines of how does all this get tied together in a big network-centric manner.
As you said, much of your effort is focused on modernizing the Army's business systems, the so-called back-office systems. What kind of impacts will these efforts have on the soldier, especially the deployed soldier in Iraq and other forward areas?
Well, actually, on some of the systems that we have in Iraq and Afghanistan today, it saves lives. Interesting enough, you wouldn't think that for a business system or a combat service support system, but We field a system called Movement Tracking System, which is Global Positioning System, but it also allows you to do two-way messaging from the truck back to headquarters, back to the states, actually. And it provides some visibility of your asset management, of your logistics stuff. And we have had cases in Iraq where when we were moving, the logistics guys were following the warfighters towards Baghdad, and in those moves, we had the ability for people that had the units. There were some that didn't have the units, but the people that had the units had the ability to, we knew where they were at. We could direct them away from the fight. When they're in trouble, we could redirect them. The Jessica Lynch kind of story, you know, if we don't know this for sure, but we know they didn't have a movement tracking system. They were in a logistics group. If we had had that capability in that truck, we might have been able to notice they were going the wrong way and try to redirect them. And that has happened. People have called in support when they've been attacked because of that system. So some of these business systems are crossing over into really that area of life-saving that you would expect normally from the other PEOs, my sister PEOs, that are really focused more towards survivability and destruction in a sense. And so for us, that's a big thing. The medical, the MC4, we have a medical system that's in Iraq today that's patient care, where the medic has the handheld medical record of the soldiers in their unit, and they're able to use that system. And that's helping to get quicker action and get a soldier keyed up for being redeployed back to a hospital, to say a MASH unit, where they could really get support with all that data collected at the time of the injury or at the time of the initial examination of the patient. So that's a big system. And of course, logistics. I mean, as you know, without fuel, without the ammunition, without food and water in particular in Iraq and Afghanistan, you got to have that or you're not going to win. And our logistics systems have taken on much more of a visibility into the fight now than ever before. And so so for us, I mean, there's no better really payoff in our world now than there today for the warfighter and how we affect the warfighter. So our whole view of being an installation-based, you know, taking care of the people in the office that do supply and maintenance and personnel, all that's out the window now. We really are focused on how does all this benefit that warfighter and that soldier, the man and the woman on the ground that's doing the fighting for our country. How do we get the stuff that they need from our systems to help them be successful?
You talked about Iraq. I'm curious, you know, how many of your employees are actually stationed in Iraq, and then what are the logistics of sort of managing this global team?
Yes, it has been a challenge. Actually, we have about 135 people in Iraq and Afghanistan today. Interesting enough, the large segment of those are contractors that support our information technology systems. A lot of them are in communications because that's obviously an important thing for us. But they're also in the medical system, logistics system. We're involved across the spectrum. What it's done to us lately, though, when the war came about, not only with the planning for it, but then in the execution, it obviously reprioritized what we're doing. Everything's focused on the Iraqi OIF, Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. That's kind of our priorities. We've realigned our money along those lines. We've realigned our efforts, our focus. Those are the things that we're really doing, and that's forced us to really balance what we want to do for the future, because we don't want to give that up, you know, moving to business process change for the future of the Army. But at the same time, we want to take care of the immediate needs of the soldiers overseas. And that's kind of been a priority issue. It's been a little juggling that has to occur as to how much goes for the current fixes and how much for the future. And so it's not an easy decision for our customers, who really make those decisions for us, as to where they want to put their money and what they want to invest in. The supplemental that Congress gave us really has helped in that manner, because that provided a money that really allowed us to do some of the current efforts that are ongoing today in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that really did put a spark into doing stuff currently without too much of a disruption to the future.
And as I understand it, you're also involved in Iraq with rebuilding the commercial infrastructure?
Yes, we have a program it's called KIC, Kuwait Iraqi Communications Center, that we're working to put really infrastructure for three groups, communications infrastructure for three groups. One is our U.S. forces. We just finished the built out of a fixed communication. So we're taking what the Signal Corps officers in the Army took over to Iraq. We're in there today now, making that permanent, putting better equipment in, making it a better performance, and then turn it over to a contractor-run facility so that those soldiers can come back. And we've actually already had a brigade that has come back as a result of that effort. So we're spending a lot for the U.S. Army to get the fixed communications infrastructure in place. And we have another piece of that we're spending with the coalition partners, the English, the Polish, all the people that are over and helping us in war, and making sure that that backbone that we're putting for the Army, that they are connected with that effort. So we're spending time with the coalition. And then recently we took over for the CPA, for the Coalition Provisional Authority, working with the State Department and DISA, which is the DOD communications infrastructure. And we're working right now to put to build up the coalition infrastructure, both in the embassy and in the what they call the green zone, the safe zone, sort of, except shots come in there every day. But the green zone area, too, to build that infrastructure up for the authority to be able to do their thing. So we have a really big effort, people that are really working long hours and taking risk, both contractors, again, and government, who are really trying to get that infrastructure in place. So it's a that program will continue this year, and our belief is it'll even continue into next year of trying to build up that infrastructure and commercialize.
That's a fascinating point. I didn't realize you were doing so much overseas. The latest acronym is ITES. What is it, and why does it matter? We'll ask Kevin Carroll, the Army's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, when the Business of Government Hour continues.